Archie Word had always said that Jim Parks never puts two words together. I was Silent Sam all the way through Bible college. Didn't talk. Well, when I announced I was going to marry Eileen, he said, well, she'll teach him how to talk. Well, she has educated me all right. And I appreciate my wife. I love her. And, well, I want to get right into the message. I got a lot of things to say. And men need courage. Amen. Courage of their convictions. And be able to stand for what they believe in. And we need men in the church today. We have too much influence of femininity that has overwhelmed our men so that they're timid, easily intimidated. And they don't have the courage to stand up and be a man. And we need men in the church. The word fortitude is a word that's made up of two words, courage and strength. And that is exactly what God commands us to do, to have courage and strength. Now, men, how do men behave? How do they act? Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, act like men. How do men act? Well, men are courageous. Men are strong. Men love risk. Men love challenge. But we live in a no-risk world today. We don't want to take any risk. We don't like challenge. But we need challenge to be a man. Now, how do women behave? Women, I love you ladies. God created you the way you are. Your genes, genetic makeup by God is that you have the nesting instinct and you want security. You want to be protected. And men are there to protect and give you security. It says in Genesis 3 that you are going to be drawn to your husband, you see. And he's going to rule over you. The Bible teaches that man is to be the ruler in the home. He is to be the leader, not to be led. I love my wife. I married a woman that is older than me. Here I was, 22. And I looked up to my wife. But let me tell you, ladies, I love you, but women have a tendency to be judgmental. Boy, they can make snap judgments. Now, I learned from my wife a lot of wisdom that way. But I also learned that as a preacher of the gospel, I cannot make snap decisions about people. And like the brother said, you got to work with them. My wife, when a salesman comes to the door, she tell me I don't trust him. And I learned to recognize her ability to read people. And she's good at it. But there's times when, as a man, I have to say, honey, let's let that tree grow. Give me time to fertilize it and plow around it and give it time to see if there's some changes can be made. Because I know this, the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can change the lives of people. We need to trust the Word of God, men. We need to recognize that. And when I first was married, I had a problem with self-confidence because I wasn't being a man in my marriage relationship. But as I grew, I began to realize the woman's relationship. My wife always took care of the checkbook. I now take care of the checkbook, and everything's going smoothly. But when my wife, surprisingly, I had to learn the hard way though, but I did learn. But the point is, my wife was always concerned about the money, always concerned about this, and always concerned about that, worried here, worried there. As her husband, at the beginning, I wasn't too much of a comfort to her. But I realized as I grew in the Lord and I grew in my maturity and understanding of her, I began to be her husband, be her leader. And I took over a lot of the responsibilities that I should have taken when I first got married. Now when my wife worries, I put my arms around her. I say, honey, don't worry about the money. The Lord will provide. Then I get on my knees and I pray, God help me. And sure enough, many, many times, He's rescued us out of difficult situations. But in the meantime, she's been comforted because I am her comfort. And I look out for her. We need men in the church that are going to lead their wives and help them and give them comfort. And when they're crying, you don't look at them and say, quit that sniveling. You'll learn to put your arm around her and hold her until she gets over it. That's a lot better than trying to talk her out of it. You know? That doesn't work. Well, he says, act like men. It was like Van said, you got to be like a hypocrite, but you can be a hypocrite for God. You're acting like a man, though you don't feel like a man, and you don't think you're a man, but you act like a man because it's commanded. You know, it's in that command form. It's the same as if God tells you to repent and be baptized. So you and I must act and behave like men. Be strong, he says. Go to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 13. Now, the American Standard says, act like men. Here, the New King James says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. So a man is one that's is a person that's going to be strong. He's going to be brave, courageous. And notice verse 14. Let all that you do be done in what? Love. That balances it off. Now, some men think being man, you know, we live in a society, and I'm surprised that our society looks upon a man that has no principles as a hero. A macho man, yeah. But the real man is a man that is going to act like a man, and he's going to treat his wife with love. Aren't we commanded to love our wives? Agapao. Sometimes it's agapao, sometimes phileo, but always agapao. You have to make yourself love her because it's commanded. That takes courage. It takes a lot of courage to deny yourself. And that's what Jesus said. If you're going to be my follower, deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. But some men are wimps. You know where the word wimp come from? The English had a word for the weak, timid man as a wet, W-E-T, wet. Another man took that word and added to limp and came up with wimp. So a wimp is a limp, wet man. He just a downer, see? And I want to get a wimp. Too many men are listening to the wives' judgments a lot of time. It's all right to listen to them, but it's not all right to follow them. We need to listen, respect them, but you follow God. Amen. And you be a man. Yep. And you look out. And you know, there's people in the church you look at and you say, these people in your mind are not going to make it unless they accept the word of God. And you preach and you teach and you be patient and loving. And you know what? Those same people you think wouldn't make it, make it. And, I want to talk about the word courageous. Actually, it's only used a few times in the New Testament. It's used a whole lot in the Septuagint of the Old Testament. But let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 28. And verse 15. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. This is the Greek word tharsos. Courage. It carries the idea of courageous strength. He took courage. Like David in the Old Testament, when all of his men turned against him, when their camp was defiled and taken captive, you remember, and his own soldiers that were his very close followers were thinking of taking his life. And what did he do? He took courage in the Lord, didn't he? Sometimes you're going to have to do that to yourself. You're going to have to encourage yourself. And in your home, you got a wife and kids, and sometimes your kids are going to do things you don't like, and you got to encourage yourself and try to get the reins. You know, David told his son, Solomon, when David was old and he was ready to die, he says, I'm going to die, Solomon, and I want you to be of good courage and be faithful to God. Every father wants to raise a son that's courageous and obedient to God. And we Fathers need to have the courage to put that into our kids. It's very important. But Paul took courage here because he was, all these Christians came to him and he took courage from that. We can encourage one another. And this word tharsis is used time and again in the Bible. People, men that are courageous, they're risk takers, they're challenge lovers, they're conquerors. They love it. They love to hold on to the truth. And when you see a faithful Christian that loves the truth and is going to follow the truth regardless of family and friends, I tell you what, you got a real leader there. We need men in the church like that. And we need leaders in the church like that is willing to preach the whole counsel of God. You know, a man that is courageous, he is not going to compromise. He is not going to tolerate evil. He's not going to tolerate false teaching in any form. He's going to step out for the Lord. You know, I never considered myself, and I don't consider myself courageous, but I do what the Lord tells me. I was asked to speak for the Promise Keepers. So somebody asked me to preach, I'm going to preach. And God has told me I need to preach the gospel, and that's what I did. I preached the one true church, and I preached God's plan of salvation. And but I saw that I threw all these good pearls to swine. They did everything they could to destroy what I spoke. So the Promise Keepers, my friend, is not helping God at all. And you know, this guy wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Church. Warren. What's his first name?
Rick
Warren, that's right. He is teaching Chrislam. You know what that is? Christianity and Islam, combining the two together. You can't. That's oil and water. Don't mix. And other evangelicals are picking that up. It shows how far man can go in their compromise. But we need to be brave. We don't want to be vacillating. People with no conviction. People who avoid challenges and getting depressed and fearful and timid. We don't want that in our behavior. We want to be bold. Turn to Deuteronomy 31. Here God is speaking to Moses. Now Moses was not allowed to go into the Promised Land because he had sinned against God. And so he's commissioning Joshua. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage." Here's the word tharsos. "Do not fear nor be afraid of them." So a man that is strong and of good courage is not going to be afraid and of them. He's not going to be filled with fear. Fear is the opposite of courage. When you feel fear coming on, encourage yourself to be courageous. I have to talk to myself and to be courageous. And when situations come upon my life, in my life and in my ministry that is so discouraging, I have to talk to myself and talk to the God, my God up above, and say, "God, help me to see this through." And interesting, this word tharsis, there's a word come from that, which is tharseo, which means, you remember when Jesus was walking across the water, the apostles were in a boat, and they thought they saw a ghost? They were filled with fear, and they said they cried out in fear. What did Jesus say? Be cheerful. It is I. Be not afraid. That word cheerful is tharseo, and if you're courageous, you're going to be cheerful. Isn't that interesting? If you're not cheerful, you're not courageous. They go together. The Mayo Clinic did an experiment. They took people that were heavily depressed. One group, they gave them pills to help them, pills that worked on depression. The other group, they gave them placebo. But in this group that they gave placebo, they talked to them and told them to be positive about life, to be thankful, to be cheerful. And they, day after day, drummed this into them. And you see, they say that people that are depressed, they don't have a chemical in their brain. This chemical is missing. My mind slipped. I can't think of the chemical. You know it. Yeah.
Melatonin.
Okay. They lack melatonin. See, melatonin helps you sleep at night. It helps you to relax. And these people that were in the group, they changed their attitude. They found that their body started producing melatonin. They began to relax. They slept better. Depression left. The group that they were still handing pills out were still depressed and still needing the pills. You see, attitude has a lot to do with our body. Be courageous, be cheerful is a good medicine for your soul. You and I don't have to get discouraged. We don't have to be depressed. We can be cheerful. We can be courageous. We can rise above situations and circumstances that are discouraging. Even while they are discouraging us, we can still be cheerful. It's an attitude of mind. It's a choice we make. If you choose to be discouraged. And some people do. Some people, every time you meet them, they're sad. They don't know how life is going to work out for them. And you try to cheer them up, and you come away being not so cheerful. Well, we need to cheer one another up. And I appreciate it when others are cheerful. I work on myself to be cheerful all the time. I see some of these young people being cheerful. I appreciate that. We need to smile more and relax more in the Lord and depend upon Him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." God says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. That's a description of a person who loves God and puts Him first in his life. Here you have a description of a man. He loves challenge. He's strong. He's courageous. He doesn't fear. He doesn't shake. And when he faces difficulties, he's going to be brave. Why? He doesn't need to worry because God is there. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them everything I command you, and I am with you to the end of the age. He's with us. We have absolutely no reason to worry or fret. Now, when my wife gets worrying and fretting, I love to put my arms around her and say, it's going to work out. And it usually does. And so we talk to God, and God helps us. Remember, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 10. Here's where Tharsis is used again. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Yeah, I'll get there. Chapter 10 and verse 9 we want to begin with. And so it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. I said 2 Samuel, I'm 1 Samuel. Okay. All right. I will repent and go over there. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. When Joab saw the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of the choice men of Israel and put them in battle array against the Syrians. So here, Joab put the strongest, most ferocious men against the Syrians, because they were more powerful. Then he took the other men to go against the other group. And here's what he told them. Verse 12. Be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him. We're to be strong. Be like men. It means to be courageous. A man does not give way to fear. He does not give way to intimidation. A man does not seek the easy path. A man lives on principle. He lives on courage. He has convictions, and he's going to live by those convictions. He stands strong against opposition. He is brave, and he faces challenge, and he has a manly attitude. You don't give in to being self-conscious and having no confidence. But a brave, courageous man is a confident man. He, even though inside he may not feel confident, he's going to act like a man. That's confidence in God. That's right. And if we put our trust in God, it's just, you know, sermons used to really upset me because I wasn't all that confident. And so I learned to pray before I come to preach. Say, God, give me the strength. Help me to be able to make the message as clear and plain as James back there does. And convicting. And I believe God helps me. And let's turn to Psalms 27. Psalms chapter 27. Here's what the promise of God. Chapter 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We need to rely more on him. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our courage. You can't have it without God. You can't have it without the Word of God. You need, and if you're going to uphold righteousness, you're going to need courage and to hang in there and be strong. That's a virtue that makes a man, you see. A man is decisive. He takes risks. You young girls out here looking for a man, let me tell you, that's the kind of man you want to look for. And you might get lucky and be able to educate him like my wife did me. So, I don't know, but I wouldn't trust that too much. Let's go to Joshua. Okay, let's quickly go to Joshua, and we'll wrap this up with Joshua, the real man who was a man in his home. But we want chapter 1. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. My mouth is dry. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, going to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Three times he said this to Joshua. Do not be afraid. A courageous man is not going to give in to fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's four things out of this, and we'll go through them briefly. First of all, the first component that motivates a person to be courageous is we got to have faith in the presence of God. God told Joshua, I'll be with you. Does he tell us that in the New Testament? Yes, he does. And secondly, we need to have faith in the purpose of God. God told Joshua, I am giving you this land. I promised it to you. Does God give us promises in the New Testament? They had the land of Canaan. We have another promise, a greater promise. That's heaven. We need to have faith in that promise. And third thing, we need to have confidence in the sovereign providence of God. Let me tell you, God is going to take care of us. Everything works together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His will. If you love God, there is no accidents in the Christian life. Everything is going to work for your good. And we need to have faith in that. We need to know that God is there working with us. And the fourth thing I see in this passage, we need to recognize your call to obey. He says, don't turn away from the truth. You can never be courageous for the Lord if you turn away from the Word of God. If you're disobedient, there is no way you're going to have courage to stand up for what's right. You're going to be a wimp. And we don't want wimps. We want men. And you look at the qualifications of an elder and all of those. And ladies, 1 Corinthians 16:13 doesn't leave you out either. You're to be brave and to be strong. God wants strong Christians. He wants a strong church. And that's all. Thank you.